Chapter 22. If he could only bring himself. And now he had, finally. Andrew had asked Chi Li Sing to hold off as long as possible before bringing her revised bill to the World Legislature floor for debate and vote, because he planned to undertake a project in the very near future that might have some significant impact on the issue. And no, Andrew said, he didn't care to discuss the details of the project with her. It was a highly technical thing. She wasn't likely to understand, and he wasn't at the moment willing to take the time to explain it to her. But it would make him more human, he insisted. That was the essential detail, the only thing she really needed to know. It would make him more human. She said she would do the best she could to give him enough time for this mysterious project of his, though she sounded puzzled and concerned. Andrew thanked her and set out at once to have a little talk with the highly acclaimed robot surgeon whom he had chosen to do the work. It was a difficult conversation. Andrew found himself putting off the moment of decision for a long while with a sad line of questioning that reflected the turmoil within himself. While the surgeon grew more and more confused by the unusual and probably impossible nature of what Andrew seemed to be asking him to do. The first law of robotics was the obstacle. The immutable law that prevented a robot from harming a human being in any way. And so at last Andrew could delay things no longer, and brought himself to admit the one necessary fact that made it possible for the robot surgeon to perform the operation, the one thing that the surgeon had not suspected. Andrew's own proper status as something other than a human being. The surgeon said,
"I don't believe I understood you correctly, sir. You claim that you are a robot yourself?"
"That is precisely what I am." The surgeon's facial expression, calm and impassive as ever, could not and did not change, but the set stare of his glowing photoelectric eyes somehow managed to reveal great internal distress, and Andrew could tell that the surgeon's positronic brain was being swept by troublesome conflicting potentials. He said, after a little while,
"I would not presume to contradict you, sir, but I must tell you that I see nothing at all robotic about your external appearance."
"You are correct. My external appearance has been altered extensively to make me appear human, but that does not mean I am human. Indeed, I have put myself to a great deal of extraordinary legal expense over the past few years for the sake of clarifying my status, and it appears, after all of that, that I remain a robot despite everything."
"I would never have thought it, sir."
"No, you never would."
Andrew had not selected this surgeon for his dazzling personality, his quick wit, his readiness to cope with difficult social situations. None of that was important. What mattered was his skill as a surgeon, and by all accounts he had plenty of that. And also that he was a robot. A robot surgeon was the only possible choice for what Andrew had in mind, for no human surgeon could be trusted in this connection, neither in ability nor in intention. The robot could do the job. The robot would do the job, too. Andrew intended to see to that.
"As I have told you, sir, stop calling me sir."
The robot halted, plainly perplexed. Then he began again.
"As I have told you, Mr. Martin, to perform an operation such as you request on a human being would be a blatant violation of the first law, and I could in no way carry it out. But if you are, as you claim, a robot, then there is still a problem. Performing the operation would constitute inflicting damage on property, you see, and I would be unable to do it except at the direct instructions of your owner."
"I am my owner,"
Andrew said.
"I'm a free robot, and I have the papers to prove it."
"A free robot?"
"Listen to me," Andrew said. He was seething with inner anguish now, and his own positronic mind was being swept by troublesome potentials indeed. "Enough of this chatter. I won't pretend to be human, and you'd discover soon enough when you operated that I'm not anyway, so we can leave first law considerations entirely out of this. But second law will apply. I am a free robot, and you will do as I say. You will not oppose my wishes. Is that clear?
And he declared with all the firmness that he had learned how to use, even with human beings over these past decades, I order you to carry out this operation on me. The robot surgeon's red eyes turned brighter than ever with inner confusion and conflict, and for a long moment he was unable to reply. Andrew knew what the surgeon must be going through. Before him was a man who insisted that he was not a man, or else a robot who claimed to have as much authority over him as a human being, and either way the surgeon's pathways must be abuzz with incomprehension. If this were indeed a man, then first law would override second, and the surgeon could not accept the commission. But if this were a robot, did second law govern the situation or not? What was there in second law that gave one robot the right to order another one around, even a free robot? This was a robot, though, who denied being a man but looked entirely like one. That was an almost incomprehensible situation. The ambiguity of it was probably overwhelming the surgeon's positronic pathways. All his visual responses were crying out that his visitor was human. His mind was trying to process the datum that his visitor was not. The visual evidence would tend to activate the first and second laws. The other evidence would not. Faced with chaotic contradictions of that sort, it was conceivable that the surgeon's mind would short out altogether. Or perhaps, Andrew hoped, the safest way out of the crisis for the surgeon would be to take a second law position. That this visitor, while by his own admission not human enough to invoke first law prohibitions, had sufficiently human characteristics to be able to demand obedience from the surgeon. Which was the path that the surgeon ultimately took after a lengthy period of hesitation.
Very well,
the surgeon said, and there was an unmistakable undertone of relief in his voice.
I will do what you have asked me to do.
Fine.
The fee will not be small.
I'd be worried if it was, said Andrew.